4. First Peter chapter number 4. We do have Robert Tidwell's daughter, Maggie Tidwell, that's visiting this evening, and thankful that she's here tonight. It's great to have her here tonight. First Peter chapter number 4. This evening we're going to be, as we started this series in First Peter, we talk about Peter with the admonition or the teaching that the Lord had given Peter, talk about when thou hast been converted, strengthen the brethren. So many of the titles in this First Peter series, we have used this idea of be strong in a certain thing. And that's what we're going to do tonight is be strong in giving. Be strong in giving, because to get you back into the mindset of this day and time, this is during the first century, and it's after Christ's death, is in that time period, the first century church, and you have these people are facing persecution by Nero, they're facing persecution by the Roman government. To be a Christian meant to be an outlaw, and they were facing life and death just sometimes to hold a Bible and have a church service that were there. And tonight in this passage of Scripture, there's two verses that we're going to look at, and only two tonight. I think it's a wonderful passage of Scripture because it teaches us about the gifts that God has given us. And there's a lot of application we can make here. And let's go ahead and read these verses real quick. It says, 1 Peter chapter 4, and look at verses 10 and 11. It says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Now, I think that's just a great couple of verses, because it kind of tells us, what are we going to do with our lives? I mean, what is it that we have choice? What are we going to do with our lives? Are we going to use our life to get, or are we going to use our life to give? According to what the Bible is saying here, it's saying here that God has given us a gift, and he wants us to be a minister of this gift, to give to others and to bring glory and honor to God. Some people are givers in life, and some people are takers. Some people are getters, and some people like to try to minister to others. And what the Bible is going to tell us and show us in this passage here, I'm hoping to show us tonight, is God has given us gifts, not so we can get more things, but instead so we can minister to others. And the Matthew chapter 16, verse 26 says, For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his souls? How are we going to invest our lives? I mean, we can spend time and invest our lives in worldly things, pleasures, trying to have the biggest house. And when we die, guess what? Someone's going to take that house away and live in it too, and probably not take as good of a care of it as you did. Or you can invest in having the best car, and then 20 years down the road, it's going to be in a junkyard like everybody else's car is. You know what? How are we going to invest our lives? What is it that we are going to spend our time doing? And, you know, what does it profit us if we gain the whole world? The moment that we leave this world, we can take nothing with us besides those things that we've laid up treasures in heaven. So what are you going to spend your life doing? If we make the right exchange, we can enjoy life here and in eternity. If we make the wrong exchange, we will never truly be happy on earth. We will regret it in eternity. I tell you, some of the happiest people I've ever met in my life have this principle figured out. It's the principle that Jesus taught his disciples at some point in time. He says, remember the words of the Lord Jesus. How he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You know, if a person is so interested in getting more and more and more, they're usually not a happy person. They're always a person that is envious or lustful, always desiring, never satisfied. But a person who is thankful and willing to minister or to give what they have, they are more blessed. The Bible says it is more blessed to give than to receive. That is a principle that so many people miss out on. As we have received, as it says here in verse number 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister. As we have received, we are to minister to the same one to another. In life, there are those who are givers and those who are takers. And I don't know, I've met quite a few of both. I tell you, the people who I've seen that seem to be the happiest are those who are willing to give of themselves for the cause of Christ. Most people, even those that are Christians, have not learned this lesson. Most people, instead of being a channel to where God can use to be able to minister to others with the gifts that they've given, that He's given them, most people have become roadblocks. Instead of being a channel that God can use, people sometimes have just turned out to be a roadblock. God desires to use us. God desires to us to use the talents He's given us. He wants us to be used in reaching others and people's souls for Christ. He really didn't bring us here to just do whatever we want, whatever makes us happy. That's just not found in the Bible. The Bible talks about how we're supposed to want to give our lives, eating, drinking, all that we do, to the honor and glory of God. The Bible talks about us reaching out to the world. The Bible talks to us about edifying, ministering, helping one another. The Bible speaks so much of what we can give, but so little about how much we should expect and want to take from someone else. This is a revolutionary principle. This is demonstrated in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ when He said He was a ransom for many. He didn't come to be minister unto. He came to minister, and He wanted to give His life as a ransom for many. You know what? He expected this of His followers. He even said, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for My sake, the same shall save it." If there is a freedom and there is a gaining of giving your heart over to God and ministering to others that you will never ever receive or get by trying to keep things to yourself. Look what it says here once again in 1 Peter chapter 4 verses 10 and 11. As every man hath received the gift. Now what gift is it talking about here? I think it's talking about a spiritual gift. Think about what the verse says. It says, every man hath received the gift. When I was born, brought into this world with certain personality traits, certain physical attributes. But when I became a Christian, born again spiritually, I received certain spiritual gifts from God. God did not give me these spiritual gifts to bring honor to myself. God did not give me these spiritual gifts to make myself look good. God gave me those gifts to be able to bring glory and honor to His name. And that's what it's saying here. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. That if we receive the gift, who's the gift come from? It's come from God. And if we have a gift that's come from God, and He says, I want you to use this to bring glory and honor to My name. How many of us have been a roadblock and said, I want to use this gift to get a position, or I want to use this gift to get notoriety, or I want to use this gift to get noticed by somebody? And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Paul was saying there, he does not want you to lack knowledge concerning this. You go down to verse number 4, it says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. What are they saying here? There are several gifts that the Lord lists in His words, but each of us have different gifts and different abilities. The Bible says in verse number 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. He's saying that every one of us have some type of gift. If it's just one gift, God has given us all gifts and certain gifts to those who have trusted Him as Savior. So what does that mean? Okay, we have a gift. How are we going to use it? There's three things tonight I want you to think about. And like I said, this message spoke to my heart. And I wanted the gifts that God's given me, I want to use them to minister to others. Because I can lay up treasures in this earth, in this world, and they just aren't going to matter. What happens here in this world is just a stepping stone. As we mentioned a couple weeks ago, all we're doing is for today, we prepare to meet God. We're preparing someday to stand before God. And the first point is the God of our lives. The God of our lives. When we think of this verse, it's amazing here. I think, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak of the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to the whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. I read this verse and I just think, wow, God gives us a gift. But then I begin thinking, you know what? God gives us life. We should be thankful to God. We would not be here if it was not for God. A lot of people think, I'm a self-made man. I'm a self-made person. No one gives me anything. Nobody. The only reason why you are here today was because God created you. You would not be here without God. He is the God of our lives. I'm alive because He gave me life. God has allowed me to live to this moment. Without the Lord, I would not be here. Without Him, I would have never been born. And it's a difficult thing for many people to recognize that God is the one who gave us life. So we need to come to understanding if He has given us life and if He is God, then we should yield ourselves to God. It's an awful thing to spend your life believing there is a one true and living God, which probably most people in this room would say, yes, I believe there is a one true living God that rules the world, and we do not submit to Him. That's an awful thing because we've missed out what God desires for us. We should be willing to give to our lives to Him in full surrender. Every one of us need to come to the place where in life where we're willing to yield to the Lord, because we know without Him we would not exist. He is the God of our lives. As we talked about this past Sunday morning, we just looked at how God was able to put a dream in Pharaoh's mind, how He was able to make the wise men forget, how He was able to make the butler remember, how He was able to give Joseph the interpretation of the dream and give Joseph a plan to be able to tell Pharaoh, and how He orchestrated all these amazing things. He caused a famine to happen in Egypt, and He called plentiful years to happen in Egypt. Over and over and over, this is how great our God is. This is what God can do. There is nothing that God can't do. And then we ask the question, why haven't we submitted our lives to Him? So when we consider this, if any man speak, let him speak of the oracles of God. If we're going to be a messenger of God, let's speak of the things of God, what God would want us to say. But before we can get to that, as every man hath received the gift, let us remember that it is a gift that comes from God. He's the God of our lives. I like that phrase when it says in there, it says, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards. Now look at this next phrase, of the manifold grace of God. Now that word manifold means many or various. And the word grace, many people can use as a definition, unmerited favor. So we can think that there is many various unmerited favors in our lives. And we begin to think, if you ponder and just consider, well, what's some of the ways that God has demonstrated grace to us? How has He given us grace? See, first of all, salvation. I mean, that's a unique thing that's only offered to those who believe, and no one else can have salvation. That's, we're saved by grace through faith. You think about the grace that God gives us when He gives us His Spirit, the grace He gives us to be able to communicate through Him through prayer, the grace He showed us when He gave us His Word, then the grace He shows us when He's willing to cleanse us from our sins and we're able to confess our sins, and He's willing to forgive us. There is so many different ways that God shows and demonstrates grace to us. And it's saying here in verse number 10 that one of the ways He shows you grace is by giving you certain gifts, by giving you certain talents. What are you going to use those talents for? Is the point of the passage of Scripture. So if you see the God of our lives, now I want you to see the giving of our lives. The giving of our lives. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. It is by the grace of God that you have a gift spiritually. Some people can teach. Some people preach. Some people can sing. Some people can be an encouragement. There is a long list of different things. Some have an administration gift. Some have the ability to just be there and be an encouragement to someone. There's a long list of different gifts that you have. What are you going to do with those gifts? The Bible says that's one of the ways He demonstrates grace to us. He gives us gifts to use. So the giving of our lives. God's blessings are to come to us, but not are they only to come to us. They're supposed to come through us. In other words, what we get from God must not stop with us. Life is not simply getting, it is giving. And that's what He's saying in His verse here. He said, look, you've received a gift from God, now minister the same one to another. Now, it's amazing that some people think that the gifts they have is something that's special for them, that they have some special talent. Now, don't get me wrong. If someone has the gift of singing, you can take that gift and you can use it and you can develop it and you can make it greater. But you know who gave you that voice? God did. You know who could take that voice away? God could. This is a gift from God. And He's saying, now use that gift to minister one to another. Don't use it to be a showboat. Don't use it to try to bring glory to yourself. Instead, it comes from above, and now minister it out. Now, I remember hearing a sermon, or at least an illustration, called a Dead Sea Christian. Most of us have heard the terminology Dead Sea before, and it's called the Dead Sea for a reason. It's dead. This is because of the salt content that's found in this sea. It is the saltiest body of water on the planet. 9 times saltier than the ocean. It is so salty that no fish can live in it. It is so salty that sailboats don't sail on it. And this is a very big body of water. It's 10 miles by 50 miles. If you look out over the water, you'll never see a person skiing. You'll never see a person wave running, skimming through the surface of the water. You'll never see people building vacation homes on the banks of it. It's desolate. The only people who like the saltiness of the Dead Sea are the first time tourists that go to Israel that are just amazed by the type of water content it has. Now, this is interesting because there is fresh flowing water going into the Dead Sea continuously. The Jordan River and several other streams feed into the Dead Sea. But the Dead Sea has no outlet. And because it has no outlet, the fresh water comes in and sits there idly. And the hot desert sun evaporates it all. See, our goal in this message is not to be a Dead Sea person. You say, well, what is a Dead Sea person? A Dead Sea person is a person who receives fresh blessings, fresh resources, fresh provisions from God on a regular basis, but never distributes them out. We get so much from the Lord. We get so much from His Word. We get so much from preaching. We get so much when we read and study. And when God gives us things, when God gives us gifts, when God gives us these different resources, what does He want us to do with them? He wants us to distribute them. But the problem is, and I think Peter maybe had this in his mind, the waters of the Jordan River flowed into the lake and flowed into the sea, but it never went out in the Dead Sea. As believers, we receive gifts from above. We are to be like the Sea of Galilee that generously shares the gift with all those that are around us. If like the Dead Sea, however, we receive and receive but give nothing away, we selfishly hoard for ourselves the benefits of our gifts, then we will become bitter also, just like the Dead Sea is. God's gifts come from God's grace. They are for the blessing and benefit of all. We are only stewards. The gifts are not ours. They are His. We shall be held accountable for what we have done with them. So, what do you get from that? I remember listening to the passage of Scripture and talked about this guy went through and he says, okay, how many times you went to church and how many times you've heard the Bible and how many blessings you've had over your life. And he used these verses to talk about the manifold grace of God and how we have grace and salvation and how we have grace because we know others and have fellowship. And he went and described so many different ways that God's demonstration shows us grace. And then he says, a person who takes that and keeps that all inside of themselves and never ministers and never gives that to anyone else, that's a Dead Sea Christian. And one of the famous things about the Dead Sea is, and some will speculate that it's not true, but they say it stinks, you know, because it's there, it's dead, and then they don't have anything in there. And to be honest with you, you know, some Christians have a stench about them. And some Christians stink when they take and receive the blessings and receive this, and their attitude stinks. Because they're never willing to minister and give out to others. It's a sad case, but it's truthful. Probably many of us would know people like that. All about what they can get, never about what they can give. You think about what the Bible says here. It's also the illustration of the Dead Sea Christian, but also the steward illustration here. Look what it says here. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, the word steward here is an interesting word. The word steward, it gives this idea of being a minister. It actually gives the idea of owning nothing. So what do you mean, Pastor? Well, a steward is a person who manages the possessions of his master. See, what the Bible's saying here is like, God has given you this gift. He says, okay, I've given you the gift of preaching. Now, as I give you this gift, I want you to be a good steward of it. Now, you take that gift and you use it the way the boss wants you to use it, the way your master wants you to use it. Now, some people say, well, it's my gift. It's my talent. It's my ability. I'm going to use it the way I want. Well, according to what the Bible says here, as every man hath received a gift, it's something you have received, something you're supposed to do with this, even so minister the same one to another. Now, how are you supposed to do this? As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, as stewards, they are people who have been entrusted with the resources and possession of their boss or their master. See, some people can be treated and trusted with more resources than others. And we get resources and talents in order to give. It's not something we're supposed to be prideful about. It's something that we're supposed to use, the talents that God's given us, to give. Most Christians have never ever entered into this matter, never learned the precious importance of this giving idea here. Many times people say, well, this is my house, this is my car, these are my clothes, these are all these different things about ownership. In all reality, everything we have belongs to God. We are just stewards of what God has given us. It's not our life, it's God's. He's given us. You know, there are some people who say, well, it's mine. I made it. I've done it. You can't tell me it's not mine. You know, I like the Bible character Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar, when he was in chapter 4, you know, Daniel 4 warned him and said, this is what's going to happen unless you repent of your sins. And it says that Nebuchadnezzar spent a whole year thinking about it. And Nebuchadnezzar, at the end of the year, says, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by my might, of my power, and for the honor of my majesty? He went and he says, you know what? Look at this great empire. I built this by my power, with my majesty. And most of us know what happens next. Nebuchadnezzar gets the heart of a beast, and he spends 7 years out there eating grass like an animal. What is he showing them? It's not ours. It's not something we've done. And if we could get this impression that we have gifts and we have talents and we have things that God has given us, and he didn't give them to us for us to just hoard. He didn't just give them to us to make us look good. He didn't just give them to us so we can shop around our talents and do the things that we want to do and not the things that God wants us to do. He's given us these gifts so we can minister the same one to another as good stewards. He's saying, okay, this is the ability I'm giving to you. I'm giving this to you. Now I want you to be a steward of it. It's never, ever yours. It's always God's talent. And we should always only use it the way that God would want us to. Look what the next verse says. It says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And this is saying is, you know, if you're going to talk about God, you need to talk the way that God would want you to talk. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God. This is talking about how, if any man's going to speak, let him speak the way the Lord would want him to speak. If we're going to speak for him, let's make sure our speech would be pleasing to God. If we're going to speak on behalf of God, let's not try to make things sound okay for the world. Let's say it the way the Bible says it. Let's be honest about it, and let's be open about it. And let's do it with truth, and let's do it with mercy at the same time. But let's not water it down because we think that's what the world wants to hear. Let's be biblical people. And that's the whole point here. Is the third thing is the goal of our lives. We have the God of our lives. We have the giving of our lives. But you have the goal of our lives here. What is our goal? Well, it's found at the end of verse number 11. It says, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God, and here's our goal, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. This is how this is our goal. We're supposed to glorify him. This is it. This is why he's giving you a talent. It's not to say people come up and say, boy, you're great at this. It's supposed to say, well, man, thank you for letting God use you. Or praise the Lord that God was able to use you. Or, you know, I had a lot of people say kind things to me about my messages most times. And I say, well, praise the Lord. That's usually often because it's nothing about me. It's all about what God can do. It's all about what God can do in you also. If you have success, it's not because of you, it's because of what God's given you. And here's the goal of our lives. If we're going to minister, we need to minister the way that God wants us to do. And you see here the two illustrations that he gives here. He says, first of all, about the oracles of God, if any man minister, let him do it. If any man's going to speak, speak the way that God wants you to speak. Second thing is, let him do it as at the ability which God giveth. I thought about that for a little bit. And I thought, you know, what does that mean? The ability which God giveth. Does that mean God gives us certain talents and abilities and we should use it that way? I think so. But I think there's also another step here. I think we need to understand is that when we do things, we need to make sure that we're doing it in the spirit and not in the flesh. See, God will enable us to do exactly what he wants us to do. He'll speak to our hearts. He'll give us gifts. He'll give us talents. And he'll give us the ability to do the things that God wants us to do. And we need to be careful when we're ministering, when we're received the gift from God and we're ministering to one another, that we don't do it in the flesh, but instead we do it in the spirit. Remember, the Bible says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. They are fighting against one another so that you cannot do the things which that you would. So how do we do this? We minister in the energy of the spirit of God. And not the energy of our flesh. See, the Word of God says everything is to be done that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Some people have different motives. Sometimes I listen to people and they tell me what some of the reasons why we do certain things here, some of the motives that are behind it. I think it's good to have a church that's full. But that can't be the motive. I think it's good to have our offerings good and to be able to pay our bills. But that can't be the motive. I think it's wonderful when we are able to have a lot of good things, helping others. I know a lot of people churches talked about doing community things today. And you know what? That's a good thing, but it can't be our best motive. See, I think the good is always the enemy of the best. If God wants what's best for us in our lives, sometimes we'll settle for good things instead of what's best. But with the gift that God has given us, we must place it in the hands of God and say, God, what is best is for you to use me to bring glory into my life. What is it in my life that you can give and get glory out of? There is a God in heaven that has unlimited resources available to his people. If there are people who can, if there is something that we want done, then we must let God do it. May God help us to be unselfish people. May God help us to have a goal in life that is one that will bring glory and honor to God. So, how do we apply this to our lives today? You know what? God's given us so much. He has. You might say, I'm not talented at all. You might say, I have nothing to offer. I have nothing to give. You know, a person who usually says that is a person who does not surrender themselves and say, and they think that they're worthless in a sense. But you know what? In God's hands, you can be a very, very good vessel to use. And then there's the other people who think that they're too good to do the things that need to be done. There's people who think that because they have certain gifts, they can only minister them to certain people or certain times and certain other reasons and certain other ways. But that's not why God's given us this gift. God hasn't made one of us more special than the other, so you can pick and choose what it is that you want to do to minister to others. Now, don't get me wrong. We need to do things in the Spirit, and there are certain things that God has intended for certain people to do. There's some of you that probably should not work with children, and there's some of you that probably should work with kids because you have patience and you have kindness. Some of you, I've seen, want to rip the kid's head off just because they do something wrong. You can stay away from the kids. We can let you do something else. There is an illustration that he talks about the hand and the foot. It talks about each of us has certain places and certain ways. But the truth is, it's first a surrender. It just comes to the spot and say, look, it's the God of my life. God has given me this gift. I didn't take it. I haven't earned it. This is something that God's given me the ability to do, and we need to remember God can take it away. And because God has given me this ability, how can I minister one another with this gift and with this ability? It's not mine. I can make it better. I can work harder at it. I can use it to a greater extent by learning more and by being more dedicated. I get all that. But the gift came from God. Let's not forget that. And the second thing is the giving of our lives. Is, you know, we receive and we take in, we take in, we take in. But there's a lot of Dead Sea Christians out there that take, and they never give. And now this is not a sermon to try to get you to sign out there for Kids Crusade or try to give more money or this is to get you to think. No, God's given me something. If you don't know what that is, we need to ask God and pray about it. And look in the Bible. Read what spiritual gifts are. And see where you can fit in and get connected in. Because the more you just take and you never give, you know who's getting the glory and honor out of that? It's not God. And that causes a person to be bitter. Because when a person doesn't get what they think they deserve, boy, they get upset. It's kind of interesting. You see different people that get things from the government, and you know, I've had people tell me, I can't believe they took this away, and they can't believe, you know, because we have an entitlement type of mindset in the world that we live in today. And it's come to where our kids have this entitlement mindset that they think they deserve this, this, and this. And you know what? We're raising a generation that thinks that they should be able to have all the things that their parents and grandparents have without having to work for it. And it's sad. And they want to be getters instead of givers. And the Bible seer is saying, look, God's giving you this gift. He's giving you this gift for a reason. He wants you to minister to others. He never gave you that gift for you to just hold on to. He never gave you that gift so you can keep it to yourself. He gave you that gift so you can give it to someone else and you can minister to someone else. And now it's a steward. Now, steward that gift. You know, if I had given you $1 million to take care of my money, and I says, okay, and I don't have $1 million, first of all, and if I did, I probably wouldn't give it to you. But if I had $1 million and said, this is how I want you to take care of my money, I want you to invest. Obviously, I want to give a tithe off it. I want you to invest this much in this product and this much in this product and this much. It's my money, but I'm trusting it in you. You don't have a right to go out and do whatever you want to with my money. You've been given something to be a manager of or a steward of. And that's what he's saying here. He says, be a good steward as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. He's given us so many things to be good stewards of. Be a good steward of your church family. Be a good steward of your own family. Be a good steward of the money that he's given you and the talents he's given you, the time he has given you. Be a good steward of the relationships you have. These are examples of the manifold grace of God. Now, don't look at them as yours. These are just growing opportunities and points that God wants you to say, I want you to take this and I want you to do something that's going to bring me glory. Yeah, you got this relationship here. I brought you two together. Now, figure out a way to bring glory to my name in this. I've given you this talent. Now, figure out the goal, how you can use this talent to bring me glory. Now, I've given you this resource, or this, maybe even money, or this possession. Now, help me show me a way that you can bring glory to me through that. You say, that sounds ridiculous. The Bible says, whether we eat, whether we drink, whatsoever we should do, do all to the glory of God. So every area of our life, in my friendships, in my family's life, in my church family's life, how can I make this a glorying opportunity to God? How can I bring glory to Him? And not just glory, but the most glory to Him. I got to go to Brother Carl Kreitz's funeral, and his son Brian got up and talked for a little while, and he used the terminology maximum glory. And I don't know where he got that from, but he was hoping that out of his dad's death, that God could get maximum glory out of it. And I thought that was kind of an interesting way of putting things. Maximum glory. And I began thinking about, you know, sometimes we settle for God getting some glory or a little bit of glory. And we do that when we do things the way we think they should. But that's not what I was talking about here. It's saying, let him speak as the oracles of God. If we're going to be God's mouthpiece, shouldn't we say what God once said? If any man minister, and if you're going to minister, and we're supposed to, as we see in verse number 10, if you're going to minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. What does that mean? Do the things that God wants you to do. Do it in his spirit, and by his might, and by his strength, so he can get maximum glory out of it. So he can get glory to his name. Because that's supposed to be our goal. So as we close tonight, are we strong in giving? And I'm not talking about your tithing records. I'm not talking about your mission giving. And both those things are important. But tonight the focus is on the gifts that he's given you. He's given all of us gifts. He's given us all abilities. Are we really truly using those to bring glory to God's name? If we're the oracle, if we're speaking, that we should speak the way that God wants us to speak. If we're ministering, it doesn't got to be our ways. It needs to be God's way. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.